What do you want the people to experience afterwards? All right, so they attended the event, then what do you want, right? Do you want them to take a survey? Do you want them to submit a testimonial? Do you want to offer them the recordings at a discounted price for a specific time only? Do you want to offer them a discounted price to the next event if you already are planning one? So again, in that planning phase, what we do is we take our prospect through all the questions that we would ask about the event, what they really want from the event, what products they want to, you know, sell, what they want on the follow-up. So we go through all that and then we plan a follow-up afterwards.
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. Hey, it's Tyler here. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Today, I've got a special guest who specializes in organizing and running online events. And this is a very timely topic because as we had this conversation, there were no large events allowed in America and in many countries around the world because of the coronavirus pandemic. So depending on when you're listening to this, that could still be true. We really have no idea how long this is going to last, the restriction on large gatherings. And so for all of the businesses that have been affected and were relying on in-person events and all the entrepreneurs and all the speakers that go to events to help bring exposure and get clients for their business, all that stuff is shut down right now. And so there are literally thousands and thousands of companies trying to figure out how to bring their events online. So I thought it was a timely topic to have an expert in this area come on the show and walk us through how we can organize and run online events effectively. So his name is Greg Russell from askgregrussell.com. And on that note, we'll jump into the interview. Today, I've got a special guest on the show. This is Greg Russell, who is the CEO and founder of Success Team Marketing Group. This is a digital marketing agency, and they help other businesses with their online marketing and their technology stack. And we actually met at a conference beginning of March, PodFest. Greg, I feel like that was the last in-person conference to occur, at least in 2020 so far, because it was a few days after that event that, you know, the government started telling people not to do large gatherings and stuff. So kind of lucked out there.
Yeah, I'm so glad it was, you know, right before all this happened. And thank you for having me on. And it was a great event. I'm glad I had a chance to meet you. And I'm so glad we got to do that event, because that's right, the week that following the NBA shutdown and kind of everything started falling right behind that, you know, boom.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a crazy time. I know a lot of companies that are running large events. It's been a very stressful year for them. A lot of cancellations, a lot of postponing, a lot of moving events online. And anyway, that's really what we're going to focus on today, because I know this is one of your areas of expertise is in running virtual events and helping to organize and promote virtual events. And for all of the entrepreneurs out there that have been affected by what's happening in the world right now and not able to speak at events, not able to host in-person events, and in many cases, that's their main business model, they're all scrambling to figure out how can they move their events online? How can they use technology to replicate what they ordinarily do in the real world? And I know you've got a book coming out on this topic as well, Virtual Events Made Easy. So I'll make sure that we find out how we can grab that book as well. Just yes. Let us know when it's ready.
Yes, but end of May it should be done, or middle of May. I'm pushing to get that out, and I'm excited about it. So Virtual Events Made Easy. Depending on when you're listening, you can check Amazon.
It'll sure, be there. Sure. Sounds good. So we're getting a sneak peek then of the advice that is going to end up in a book in just a few weeks from now. So Greg, let's speak specifically to the, you know, the founders of companies and the people responsible for organizing events inside of other companies that are normally happening in person. You know, conferences from, you know, anywhere from a few hundred to a few thousand people. The one that we went to, PodFest, I think it's a pretty good example of a typical conference. There were about 2,000 people there. There was main speakers that were given, you know, the keynote presentations in the big room. There were breakout sessions happening in smaller rooms. There was networking areas in the hotel, and then there was a exhibitor section where all the sponsors for the event. And that's a pretty standard model for an in-person conference. Big question for you is, how the heck do we replicate that online? Where do we even start? Walk us through, like, how do we prepare for something like that? Like, what's happening in the planning and preparation phase? And then and then we'll just take it from there.
Yes. So exactly. First thing you want to do is plan and prepare, you know, for having a virtual event. And I think, you know, so many people are familiar now with a technology called Zoom. And Zoom is great for having meetings. And if you look into their platform, they can also have, you know, breakout sessions. But when you start to have large meetings over, you know, 100 people, then Zoom starts to break down as far as being able to deliver a really good experience for the end users. And we all have seen some of the funny things that happen to people who are not used to using the technology, and all of a sudden been forced to use some of the technology. There's some memes and videos going around and people who's been having some really wild experiences on a Zoom meeting because the people aren't used to really understanding that everybody can see you at during that meeting. So I think training the speakers to understand what it's like for the end user is a good starting point. Like, you have to really understand the technology as a presenter so that you know what the end user is getting. And so part of the planning is to be able to plan how you're going to train the attendees on what to do to have the best experience for them. Because a lot of it is not in your control once you have a virtual meeting as compared to when you're having a physical meeting.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think especially in the marketing type of conferences, marketing industry, those attendees might be already familiar with the technology. And so maybe their learning curve of how to actually attend an event using Zoom is a little bit shorter. But for every other industry out there where it's like, this is uncharted territory, doing events online, not only do the organizers have to learn that, what technology they can use to pull it off. Sounds like Zoom is the go-to for a lot of, for most people right now, but training their attendees on how to get the most of the experience, how to have a positive user experience before they even show up, I guess, for the live event. Now, let's assume that we're running live events online, you know, not pre-recorded webinars or, you know, pre-recorded interviews for a virtual summit type stuff, but, you know, live sessions, live presentations, live breakout rooms, all that stuff that wouldn't ordinarily be happening at an in-person conference. It's now happening using technology. Do you have any suggestions leading up to the event on how we can, you know, prepare people, how we can get them to show up, how we can essentially help them navigate the experience of attending the event? Like, what are some specific steps you would have the attendees be educated on before the event even begins?
So for the attendees, I would suggest for attendees, you know, understanding how to get around or use the actual platform that they're on. So for example, since Zoom is so popular, I'll just use it for example. Let's just say we're having an event using Zoom, right? So for the end user, you know, you would want to educate them beforehand that, one, they can control their microphone, right? Where to mute that, right? Where to hit the button, find the button to hit mute. Turn on and off their camera, but also the view. Like in Zoom, the end user has the control of the view. So if it's multi-person, let's say it's a panel, right? They can determine whether they're going to see, you know, big one view person on their screen or like little checkers of everyone at the same time. They're the ones who can control that by clicking the button on their screen. It's either called speaker view or gallery view. Sometimes when Zoom opens up, it opens up full screen, right? And then for a new user, they may not know how to get out of that full screen. So before the event happens, we need to have some sort of simple, short training for them so they know how to have the best experience for them. So that's the first place I would start, is make sure you have that. And the second thing is, you know, give you enough time to market the virtual event and have people register. The more time you have for the marketing, is more people you can get to show up. So, and that's like any other, you know, thing you're going to market and launch online. You just have to give yourself enough planning time, enough touch points, you know, enough ad spend to get new people, the right things for the actual speakers and presenters. If they have lists, if they are, you know, influencers, to reach out to their people, have the marketing done for them. So it make it easy for the speakers to be like, here's the graphics, you know, here's the email, here's the tweets, right? Just you use this stuff, and just to be able to give it to them ahead of time.
Yeah, got it. And how far in advance would you recommend that we start marketing an online event? Does it differ in any way from trying to get people to an in-person event, or could it possibly be a shorter time frame since it is easier for them to attend an online event?
It can be shorter, but you still need a good amount of time. And also depends on the size of the event you're trying to have. It also depends on who's doing the marketing, right? And are y'all trying, do you have a group of people who you know, if this is a big company, right, this may be to your employees, and maybe it's, you know, mandatory that they come, right? So then you don't need a lot of time. You need to let them know date and time and when it's going to be there, or they may need to be at certain sessions, right? But if this is an event where you're trying to reach out to new people, then you want to give yourself more time. Time to plan the content, if you need to find the speakers, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're looking you know, 4 to 6 months to put it all together, that's kind of a good reference for a nice size conference. 4 to 6 months. And for a physical conference, you're probably looking at a year of planning for something like that.
Right, right. And we could very well be kind of prohibited from running in-person events for, you know, well into 2020. Some people are predicting even, you know, longer than that. I mean, I've had to have this conversation with a few business owners over the past few weeks, that they normally do in-person workshops, even on a small scale, like small, you know, small workshops and seminars as part of the way that they get clients. And I said, I think we need a plan to like bring that online possibly for a whole year or two, and not like hope that you can get back to doing that a few months from now, just in case you don't get to.
Yeah,
it's just a reality that we're kind of all facing right now.
Yeah. And even something like that, like, you know, they're a lot of times, even with the platform like Zoom, because there's other platforms out there, but I'm just using one that's the most popular because they went from like 10 million users in December to over 200 million users by the end
wow.
of March.
They, yeah.
You know, and it's not only just, you know, the US, right? It's all these countries. So now they had all this training in other languages as well. So, but 90% of the time, most people only scratch the surface of Zoom. They only use it to just, you know, maybe have a meeting, but it has so many more features in the settings, and especially the paid version. The paid version opens up some things that aren't in the free version that will allow you to do some more advanced things.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm on the paid version, and that settings page, it takes a few minutes just to scroll down and look at everything. Are there any scenarios or types of events where you actually wouldn't recommend Zoom? Like, what's the criteria there for, if you've got a certain size of event or type of event, you want to run it a certain way, that Zoom might not actually be the best choice for you?
I believe that when you're, you know, running over 50 to 70 people, Zoom can break down, right? So when you start getting close to 100 people, Zoom is hard to manage and have a really good experience for the end user. That's Zoom meeting, right? Zoom webinar is a whole different platform where you're having a webinar, but when you're, and it can handle larger type people because the end user can only see the one or presenters or co-presenters at the same time. So they're not seeing everyone. But when you have something like that, then you don't have the networking or the community of people talking with each other. So, and you can't run part of a webinar and part of a meeting with Zoom at one time. It's either one or the other.
Right.
So that's where Zoom breaks down. And that's where some of these other platforms will allow you to have sort of a hybrid of those, where you can have, you know, what we would consider a main stage. Well, the main stage is like a webinar, so that it's, you know, one person or two speakers can broadcast out to, you know, 1,000 listeners or more, and they can see and watch the presentation. And then from there, go to a breakout room where they can have like a meeting and talk back and forth with other people, other participants. So that's where Zoom kind of breaks down. It's one or the other. And if you're going to have larger events, if it's only just a presentation, then to many people, then Zoom is fine. But if you want that interaction from other people, Zoom breaks down for large events.
What could we use instead? Are there any tools you're seeing people that are reliable for that scenario where we're trying to replicate what might be a big conference with 1 or 2,000 people and multiple types of sessions? Is there a platform that's reliable for that?
There are a couple, and I can tell, you know, tell let you know these. However, unlike Zoom, these platforms, because there's kind of a race for a dominant platform to do this, right? So
Yep.
let me give you guys a perfect example. There was Zoom and GoToMeeting, right? GoToMeeting started in 2004, and Zoom didn't come around to 2011. So GoToMeeting had 7 year head start, right? And GoToMeeting, for whatever reason, didn't really change their model or platform to compete with Zoom. And when it first came out, you know, most people didn't know of Zoom. But you know me, I'm one of the guys who find stuff early, right? So I found it several years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, and I was one of the first ones on it. And I was like, you know, GoToMeeting can't compete with the pricing, right? Because GoToMeeting's pricing was, you know, I think it was $60 or so, where Zoom was $15, right? And they just couldn't compete, and they wouldn't change their pricing for years. And because of that, now when something happened and everybody needs a meeting platform, everybody's talking about Zoom and nobody's talking about GoToMeeting, and GoToMeeting had 7 years head start, right? So I say that because, you know, Zoom has kind of become the popular dominant force in this space, even though they weren't the first ones to start. And so there are platforms out there now that are racing to become that dominant platform, and no one has really done it yet. The other thing is Zoom and GoToMeeting are consumer-friendly applications, meaning the average person can get on there and work it pretty well to some degree. These applications aren't necessarily such because of, it's not that they're technical, but there's things that the average person who hasn't run events before wouldn't think of, and then they could cause things to crash their event. So you really need someone or a group of people who are kind of focused in on this to give your event the very best possible experience, right? So for example, if you were to, in the physical world, you could go to a hotel and you could get the space, but you wouldn't try to set up the mics and the lights yourself if you wanted to have a really good experience for a large event. You would contract a company to come set that up and, you know, run the mics for you and set the lines, set the lighting and make it bright. You'd have those type of things. So these platforms are kind of just like the hotel room. Here's a space, and you have to do what you want with it. And it's not really a consumer type one. So I just wanted to preference that, so that if, you know, someone thinks they could just go to there, they can, and they may not have the best experience because it's not something that's really set up for consumers.
Yeah, and fair enough. So maybe there's an opportunity there for somebody to try to build this. And I know how long it takes to build really good software, so and it's not going to be an overnight thing. But I don't think the world has ever experienced this type of pressure to have to replicate what happens at a big conference online before. I mean, even from the way that, you know, there were moderators of each room at the breakout sessions. There was an MC or you know, moderator of a panel in the big stage area. There were dozens and dozens of people helping to run the in-person event, each responsible for different rooms and helping different speakers get on stage and all that sort of stuff. So it sounds like maybe the only way to replicate that online might be that for each one of what might be a breakout room or a smaller session or a networking area or a keynote, every one of those is somebody's Zoom account. Like, and so whoever's organizing this thing, you got to like be directing the attendees to the correct Zoom links to join sessions. But there's no, I don't think that there's one main platform or solution just yet where it creates like a virtual experience, like a conference where you're logged into the platform and you see, oh, this is over here, there's a breakout happening, and simultaneously there's a speaker over here happening. And
now I was going to say, actually there is.
There is?
So, yeah, there's two that you can look at. One is called Run the World. And it is a virtual conference. You can run virtual conferences on there. It's called Run the World. And they kind of have it where people can attend from their mobile device, as well as a desktop, but they have a lot of really cool features on there. If you're having a virtual event from your mobile device, things where they have a lot of interaction, like the Facebook like button when you're on a Facebook Live, where someone can hit a like or a heart, and then that pops up on the speaker to see. So the person presenting can feel that interaction as they're talking. Another one is called Hopin. It's Hopin.2, and it is a platform that can replicate a virtual event. So those are two of the ones. There's others out there. I'm looking at them all the time, and there's some that are summit focused, where it's the focus is to have a summit, which is different from having a virtual conference. And one of the main challenges is the networking part. That's where the summit allows you to have access to different information from different speakers. But the networking part, that's the part that separates a conference from a summit.
Right. Okay. Good point. And I'm glad you mentioned a couple of tools. I'll make sure I link to those in the show notes so people can check those out if they're running bigger events or conferences online. You touched on it a little bit, but the point of creating engagement and like some interaction with attendees, are there any tips or best practices you can share on that? How can we make sure that the attendees are getting a good experience, are able to ask questions, network with each other? Like any suggestions you have there?
Yes. So if you're having a conference and you're going to have networking time, most people, if they're just thrown in front of someone for networking, you know, one-on-one with someone for the first time, some people will find that awkward because they don't know that person. They don't know why they're, you know, talking to that person right then and there. So my advice is to coordinate that by giving people questions to ask, right? So you're going to say on your networking session, you're going to be with someone and you set the time. It could be, you know, a minute, it could be 2 minutes, it could be 5 minutes, whatever it is, but give the people the questions to ask. So those people who wouldn't know what to say when they first meet someone, right? And as, you know, adults and professionals, you think that, hey, we should be able to just network on our own, but there is a large percentage of people who, if you don't tell them what questions to ask and stuff, they wouldn't really know. And this kind of helps to get people talking to each other and networking by having certain questions that can start off the conversation.
Yeah, got it. For events where having exhibitors and sponsors is an important part of the model, might even help pay to run the event, how can we replicate that online? How can we bring those relationships to an online event and get the sponsors for our event and the exhibitors some great exposure with the attendees?
Well, how we do it for our clients is we make the sponsor have a session at a specific time. And that session, they can talk back and forth with the people who are in that session. So it's like a Zoom meeting, right? So the people who are interested in hearing about a specific product or service can attend that session. Other times during the event, if someone goes to that exhibitor booth, right, they can be there like a Zoom meeting where people can come in and then ask questions, and they can give them a demo of the product or service or ask any questions. So we do it in a way where there's live interaction with the exhibitors, just like as if they were at a real conference.
Right. Yeah, because at a real conference, most people that are interested in, learning about a specific sponsor or event, they might only spend a couple of minutes at the booth to, quickly get the spiel on what it is, get a couple of questions answered, maybe get a quick demo. And that's about the extent of the interaction. It's sometimes quite short.
Yeah, we also have a call to action for the sponsors where they can hit a button and it can either give that sponsor the contact information for the person hitting the button, or that button can go to their website or landing page if they prefer, whichever way they want to do it. So they have the option to do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg, you know this as well as anyone, but running events is like can be incredibly stressful, especially running the in-person events. Are there any like major mistakes or red flags that we can avoid and watch out for to help prevent emergencies, major technological fails, big stress inducing type of scenarios when we're running an online event?
Yes, and it depends on the platform. So one of the things we do is you want to match the platform that's going to best give the client the experience they want. So when it comes to larger events, some of the things you want to do is maybe pre-record the keynotes so that there isn't any interruption with the internet during the keynote, right? So one of the major things, keynote speaks are usually longer and are usually to a much larger audience. So we can't control, from the virtually, we can't control their internet speed and their latency and if something happens, right? So one of the things I recommend is to consider, if possible, pre-recording it for keynote presentations and have that recording play instead of it being live. So what happens is we do that for the keynotes, and then in the breakout session, they're live with a co-host or someone from our team, where if something happens to their feed, then someone else is in there to talk until they can get it back. Because if internet interruption happens during a keynote, you can't really get it back. It's kind of it's bad and it's out. So since we can't control that, we try to have that just, and run that way. Now that does take a little bit away from it, but unlike a breakout session where you're getting that live interaction feedback, a keynote you're not anyway, right? At least in a physical world, yeah, you can hear the audience laugh, but online you wouldn't, right? If you were to say a joke or something like that. So that's the advice I have for the keynote presentations. Try to pre-record it, and if you have a way to do that, if the platform allows, some do, some don't, and have the interactions in the breakout room, and also double check the speaker's internet speed. Make sure they have the fastest possible, or go someplace where they can have the fastest possible, so that that's not a problem. That's kind of the biggest mistake I think people will run into, is not really checking their internet speed or latency, or having other programs running during. And then also, if you can plug directly into the router versus just relying on Wi-Fi, will help a lot too. So those are the three things.
Yeah, no, those are good points. And in the case of having a pre-recorded keynote presentation, that keynote speaker could technically be hanging around and be available and like answer questions after the recording is finished playing.
Yeah, that's what we do. We have the keynote presentation pre-recorded and played, and then a breakout session right afterwards where they can go interact live.
Got it. Okay, cool. For the entrepreneurs out there and for the businesses that are being forced to pivot right now, and because they ordinarily rely on in-person events and now they're moving online for the first time, is there any words of encouragement or ways to accomplish this quickly? Like minimum viable, let's get something going. Maybe we don't have 6 months to plan something. Maybe we don't have a year to plan something. But for the people that are like, I need to generate some more leads, some more sales for my business in the next like few weeks, or I'm in big trouble and I have to do something online, how do you suggest they quickly make a pivot?
So making money online is really easy. You only need two things. You need an offer and you need a buyer. That's it. Like, don't complicate it, right? If your offer is your event, even if it's just a Zoom, get it up there, right? Get it up there. Just do it. Just do it. We're doing our event, and we had a little our first event for one of these platforms is a little over 30 days. So it can be done, right? It definitely can be done. It may be a lot of work, it may be intimidating, but don't try to build, you know, a huge thing. A lot of times simplicity just will work, right? So all you would need is a way for people to register, a way for you to get paid, and then you just need to put on the event. If you have a short amount of time and you don't have a lot of money, you can do a decent size event just with Zoom. Just learn it. Just get back in there, get your account, go through that settings feature and see what you can do. Understand what it's like for an attendee. You know, if you've never been an attendee on a Zoom meeting, jump on some, click the button, see what they do so that you know how to educate your people when they're attendee, when they're, you know, your attendee, what to do so that they can get the best experience. And then just deliver your content. So another thing you can do, like, you know, with most of these platforms is you can record it, right? So if you're going to do an event, don't just think about that's the one thing. Think about how you can take that and repurpose it, right? So I will give you one really good secret about Zoom that most people don't know is that you can hit the stop and start record button on Zoom and it will give you multiple files. So what that means is you can have a session you can basically teach a class or a course, stop it and start it for each section, and then have multiple files for a course afterwards. So that's one of the secrets, man. Most people, you know, don't realize that. It was something I learned early. And so, like, if you have let's say you have a 4-hour workshop that you're doing, you can tell everybody, all right, guys, I'm about to go through this first section. I'm going to record it. And then at the end, you can ask any questions. So let me get this recording started, hit the start record button, and then introduce it. Hey guys, in this section, we're going to talk about such and such. Go through your content and then hit the stop record button and then allow people to ask questions. Or if you want to have your questions and answers separate from your content, you can start it again. And then now you have these separate video files of that particular content for you to put up as a course or something afterwards.
No, that's awesome. That's really good advice. I just did something similar. With my business partner, we did a 2-hour live training inside of our Facebook group. And then we took that recording, chopped it up into 5 videos. And now we've got like a mini course that we're putting up online. That's, you know, delivered to somebody over 5 days. Each day they get one lesson. And that's basically a new funnel we've got by repurposing a two hour online workshop that we did.
Here's another one. I'm giving you all my goodies. If you're using the paid version of Zoom and you don't, you know, look, you may just want to start the paid version for the time that you're going to have the event and then use the free one afterwards. But the paid one allows you to stream into Facebook, right? So what you can do is you can have some time before your main content where you're talking to people in your Zoom, you're checking your Facebook feed to answer questions there. And you can tell people, hey, if you want to, you know, give them like a sample, and then, hey, if you guys want to come, you know, register for this, come and send them to your landing page for them to pay. And then before you start going into the real conference, you can stop the, you know, you can hit stop from sending it to Facebook. And so the Facebook then stops and only the people on your Zoom now get your content. So it's a way for you to, you know, get that exposure from Facebook that, you know, Facebook gives you, and then allows you to have that time to kind of pre-sell people who, you know, are seeing you now and hearing about it and may decide, hey, that's something I definitely need. Let me go ahead and order it and get inside the Zoom meeting so that they can hear the rest of the content. So that's one way you can use that feature.
Oh, that's great advice. Another question for you on the topic of follow-up, like what happens after the event ends? And I'm a big fan of creating feedback loops so that, you know, if I do something one time, I want to get some feedback on how that went so that I can do it better the next time. And this is going to be especially important for people that now have to do multiple events, multiple online events, maybe every month, maybe every week, maybe they're going live every day, like who knows, whatever the case is. But how can you insert some sort of a process that allows you to obtain feedback and learn from your attendees so that each time you do an event, it gets, you know, it gets better and better? Is there any suggestions there?
Definitely. So because, you know, we're a marketing agency that's also pivoting to take advantage of what's going on with the coronavirus, that plays into all the marketing ideas and technologies that we would use for any other type of event, you know, the follow-up or even after the sale. So again, when it comes to that planning, what do you want the people to experience afterwards? All right, so they attended the event, then what do you want, right? Do you want them to take a survey? Do you want them to submit a testimonial? Do you want to offer them the recordings at a discounted price for a specific time only? Do you want to offer them a discounted price to the next event if you already are planning one? So again, in that planning phase, what we do is we take our prospect through all the questions that we would ask about the event, what they really want from the event, what products they want to, you know, sell, what they want on the follow-up. So we go through all that and then we plan a follow-up afterwards. And so if you have the technology, a CRM or autoresponder, you can preset all that stuff up so that once they register for your event, they're already in the queue to get the follow-up at the specific times after the event happens.
Awesome. Okay. No, that's a good suggestion. Well, Greg, I think we've covered some good ground here. You shared some really good advice. Is there any, as we wrap up, is there anything you feel like we didn't touch on or you want to add, or just, you know, any kind of advice for our entrepreneurs in general that are now having to utilize technology to essentially run online businesses, especially if they've come from the world of offline businesses and offline events? Is there one specific tip or thing we didn't touch on that you want to wrap up with?
Yeah, this time is tough for a lot of people. And, you know, if I could give any advice, it would be like, I'm not going to say everything's going to be okay. But what I can say is that you can do it, right? You can make the best of this particular time, this particular situation. The internet and technology is here. It is available. You know, you can learn it. You can reach out to people. You know, because a lot of times some people, that's not their thing. They're just technophobia or they just don't like it. But there are people out there who can help you if you're willing to reach out. We're all really connected. Like, you know, with so many people being on lockdown and so many businesses feeling like it affects every single business and it affects every single person. So there's not one single person that it's not going to affect in some way or another. So, you know, you are not alone. We have the technology, reach out to people and find the answers to the questions. You know, I'm here, you know, Tyler's there, the technology's there. You know, one that's popular like Zoom, you can do a lot with Zoom. You just need a way to register people that will pay for an event and, you can do it. So my advice is don't stress, take a deep breath, do what you can and reach out to those people who can do the things that you aren't really good at. We're here to help. So get after it.
That's awesome. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that. And I wish you all the best. Thanks so much for listening to the Influence and Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.